Our next speaker will be Brother Albert Thrasher. He represents two organizations at the same time, the Afro-American Liberation League and also the Revolutionary Political Organization, Marxist-Leninists, both headquartered in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Thank you very much. I'd like to extend thanks to you and the rest of the panelists and comrades, brothers and sisters here. Mr. Malcolm Suber would like to have been here. He's the president of the Afro-American Liberation League. But unfortunately, he's out there on the battlefield, and so he couldn't be here today. So my comments are to reflect his views. I'm also a member of, an active leader in, the Revolutionary Political Organization, Marxist-Leninists. We take as our starting point the prospect for a socialist revolution, a necessary for that in the United States, and a necessity for the socialist revolution to really complete the task of bringing forward genuine self-determination for the Afro-American nation. At the same time, we fight right now, while capitalism is around, for self-determination. Our organization unites with Malcolm X because Malcolm X was a great patriot, an exceptional person, an exceptional political personality of the Afro-American people. And he was a person who stood for this fundamental question of democracy in regard to the national question. That is, all nations must decide for themselves how they're going to carry out and organize their affairs. And that means specifically and most fundamentally the question of the right of a nation to govern itself, to rule itself, to have independence. We unite completely with that viewpoint, and we think that there's no way that there's going to be equality, freedom, justice, all these things we're talked about in terms of democracy, unless the Afro-American nation has the right to self-determination in the Black Belt of the South. We're not talking abstractly about the South. The South, geographically, is many different parts. There's that part of the Northern South where historically Afro-Americans have never really lived. But there's that Black Belt region, that region of the plantations where my father's whole family came from, and most of us sitting in this room, the whole families came from. There's that plantation belt, which starts up here in Delaware, up in Maryland, and stretches all the way down through Washington, Virginia, Carolinas, and Georgia, and you're going over into Alabama, Mississippi, and out partway into Texas and Arkansas. You can find that plantation belt today, and you'll find out there in that plantation belt that the people who are working the land are mainly Black, our descendants, yes sirree. And you'll find that the ancestors of our people, you know, us, you know, we were the ones that created this massive wealth in this country. And we'll find out the descendants of the slaves are Black, are working that land. We'll find out that, in the main, the descendants of the slave master class are white, are capitalists, but they have that slave mentality and that slave roots in their outlook. Now, there are a couple of things about the question that was raised here. Is there still struggle in the South as implied in it, or is there a Southern struggle? I don't think anyone here believes that there's no Southern struggle, no such struggle going on in the South, so I'm not going to address that part of it, okay? But I do think that we have to understand there's been some changed conditions, there's been some changed nature to this struggle. Clearly, because of the contradictions of the imperialist system, there are two fundamental characteristic struggles in the South. One, the struggle between the working class and the capitalist class. And secondly, the struggle between the oppressed Afro-American nation and the imperialist bourgeoisie. Both those struggles go on simultaneously. In the South, there's no question that the Afro-American liberation struggle is, at this point, is the most, you know, powerful, strongest, okay? And there's no question that that Afro-American liberation struggle has, of course, too, some changes within it. We're used to the presentation given by the liberal white bourgeoisie to present the struggle in the South as a struggle of Martin Luther King, a struggle for some reforms, struggle for integration. When you see You know, winning the prize, whatever it is, keeping your eye on that prize, that's essentially what they're trying to present. Well, the struggle in the Black Belt South is not at all that character today. I will say that. We can challenge me, you can attack me, you can do whatever you say. That really isn't the character of the struggles that are going on in the Black Belt South today. The struggle in the Black Belt South today, clearly are struggling workers and capitalists, but the main struggles are struggles for right to self-determination. And I want to emphasize that. True, many of these struggles are indeed struggles that show an aspiration. They have no political program as such. They're instinctive. But many of these struggles, however, are connected with a program, specifically a program, calling for independence in the Black Belt South. And of course, it's our job to push forward all the struggles, but our main job is to link these aspirations for clear political demands, because there's no movement without a political program, and there's no movement without a political party to lead that movement. Nowhere in the world is there a movement for independence, a movement for self-determination, where there's no clear political program guiding that movement. And it's our job to see to it that it's done. We have to figure out all the ways and all the nuts and bolts and so forth and all the tactics and so forth, but this is what our job is. I'd like to comment briefly on some of these struggles, because I think that they tell us something about them. We've been heard comments about in Selma, Alabama, the struggles around the schools, the demands of the parents, that we don't want the schools to be run by rich whites anymore. We want to be run by black people, you see? The demands in the schools also, many of these demands are demands for not integrating the schools at all. Many of the demands are, man, we want these schools black. We want control of the black schools. We don't want to have our children bused to various locations. No, we want to have control of the schools right here where we are. And in most areas in the Black Belt, you know, we're talking about areas where blacks are the majority. In Alabama, at least, some areas of the Black Belt's been broken up, and there's some pockets. But many of these areas, the struggles are very clear. We want control of the existing institutions right here. And I'll tell you, out in Opelousas, Louisiana, which is way out toward, going toward Houston there, blacks are the majority in that county there, been a majority ever since slavery. Blacks are demanding what? Of all things, demanding at what? Swahili be in the schools. Can you imagine such a thing as that, you know? Swahili being in the schools, you know? They demand, in fact, demand precisely is that African language be in the schools, and one of which be Swahili as a second language, you know? And then someone come along and say, well, why don't we just have black dialect in the schools? Right here, the dialect that we developed, be taught in the schools. We want our teachers not to be teaching this in the King's English, you know, because people don't understand them, you know. Then we go to various schools like the college system. I'll tell you, in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, and in New Orleans, the Southern University, been a black school ever since it's been around, right? Well, Southern University is supposed to be desegregated. Another way for closing down black schools. Now, what is the demand of a national democratic movement is that we want control of our schools. People have been coming along saying, we want to control our schools. We can't have no people who are descendants of slave owners can tell our children how they should learn, what they should learn, especially what they should learn, what they should do with their lives. So the demand has been articulated, been carried through by the masses. They've had mass demonstrations, thousands, Baton Rouge, numerous occasions, New Orleans. Not under the American flag, I'm going to tell you this, under the Afro-American flag, walking down the street, demanding we want Southern to remain open, and we want Southern to remain under black control. And I will tell you another aspect of this struggle, and we've seen it developing because of the sharpening of the class contradictions amongst the Afro-American people. Many of these struggles are proceeding not in alliance with the black bourgeoisie, but against the black bourgeoisie, against the house slaves. The house slaves more and more are finding themselves fighting against the masses of black people who are putting forward national democratic demands to control their life and for self-determination. We saw it in Waynesboro, Georgia, when a black proletariat rose up against the brutal treatment of the black workers, the murder of black people, when the Uncle Tom was sent out to do the job to quiet down, to keep the plantation from burning down. The black workers jumped on Uncle Tom, chased him away, you know. Say, you're over in that camp, and we're going to fight against you. We find it in New Orleans and other places that the struggle is proceeding sharper and sharper as we see around the world against not only the imperialist agent, but the imperialist puppet. All of us can sit here and see the imperialist puppet in Vietnam War. We saw Chu, GM, am I correct? But when we look at the Afro-American nation, it becomes all kind of fuzzing, as if the struggle, we never run up against the puppet. We do run up against the puppet. I will tell you one thing here. In many cases, the masses have come forward quicker because of practical necessity than sometimes the ideologues who have been defending these puppets when in fact they're fighting against them. I will tell you right now, in New Orleans, Louisiana, a school board which is in fact black majority, a city council which is black majority, a mayor that's black majority. The masses of people are moving, but they're moving not just against the white imperialists, but the lackey. We find that we have a movement in the schools taking place now where the parents are demanding control of these schools, not just some formal control, actual control. We want it. We don't want no puppets set up there and say that puppet represents self-determination, because we are not stupid. The fact of the matter is these puppets are on the other camp, and those who call themselves ideological leaders should wise up and realize it soon, because the masses are passing us by in many cases, moving beyond us, you know. They understand the realities of struggle. In every movement, there are not only fighters in our camp, but there are also traitors. And you don't build a movement to liberate the people by allowing the traitors to stay in your ranks and call themselves fighters. They will always betray you and destroy your movement. We found in New Orleans that when we went to the school board and said, listen, school board, we want black culture introduced in the schools. Says, no, that's just a simple democratic demand. Anywhere in the world, you know, you would even go over to Korea to enforce this demand, or Vietnam, anywhere, but you won't sit up here in your own schools and say, we want democracy, we want black culture in the schools. School board said, well, we're thinking about it. We had a plan for that. In fact, didn't we have a commission for that? I believe we had a number of things for that. Isn't that right, Willie? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have something like that. You better get on down the road. We're coming back next week, you know. That's what they told. We came back next week, and we kept coming back next week and next week. And finally, at first we came back with 10 people, then 20, then 30, then finally, regularly 100, 150 at that school board. Finally, the school board said, well, listen, there's too many people out here. I guess we should give some black culture in the schools. But then they said, well, the black culture in the schools is going to be multicultural education. Now, you know, words can be too twisted, you know. Someone could sit here and say, you know, that's not a human being. This is a God, right? And you could rename him, call it anything you want, you see. You and I know it's a human being, you see. So when they came along and said, no, we're going to have multiculture, we said, that's another name for keeping the white-dominated culture in the schools. We want black-based culture in the schools. And indeed, we want in the schools, we want to have Afro-American dialect taught. We don't want the teachers speaking like the teachers from Europe. The kids don't understand them, you know. And I include myself in that. I'm not trying to be pure. We need the people in the schools that the kids, young people, normally understand. And it's not complicated. There are teachers out there, you know. In fact, they found all these teachers, so-called, once the strike began. I'll go into that a little later on. They found a lot of teachers, you know, that they claimed they couldn't find to meet our demands. Right? Well, what happened was that they said, well, we don't know, we'll try. See, after that, we had a few demonstrations. Then they said, okay, we're going to have it, but it's going to cost so much money, we don't know if we may have to close a few schools, you know. We may have to lay off all kinds of thousands of people, you know. And I say this because this is the usual tactic of the lackey, you know. The lackey, see, if the school board was all white up there, or majority white, the people would have been extremely outraged, you know, instinctively when they heard that kind of talk, you know. But the people kind of bought it for a while. Well, maybe we don't want to trade off, lose schools. But then when it became clear, when we showed by analysis, there was no need to cut anybody. There was no need to do those things. You know, they could go ahead and carry through, and the people supported it. We find right now that the school board has formally given in to our demands, you know. But we have a lot of struggle to go. I'm just going to go on a few other struggles. I won't go into a great deal of analysis. I just want to mention them because I think they're very important. There's a great number of demands in the Black Belt South right now for redistricting. You know, when you look at the situation, the political state machinery is in the hands of ruling class whites. You go to court, and who do you see? White judges? You see all these white attorneys down there? Am I correct? You see white bailiffs? You see white, you know, just name it. And the black people are being brought through the courts just like it was, you know, cattle. You see? And the demands now being articulated in many areas of the Black Belt, not just in New Orleans, but many areas, you know, is for black majority districts. not just on some of the electoral districts, but also for the judges, because there's got to be some improvements in this regard. The second thing we see, like in West Alabama, is in the political districts the Senate in the and in the House of State of Alabama, the black masses have put forth a demand. They've won redistricting such that the black belt as an entity, okay, has its own representation. Okay, now this is important first, because they're beginning to recognize, even amongst the bourgeois, state apparatus, that the black belt is an entity that has to be represented as such, you know, that it is a natural way to delineate the boundaries of these districts and so on. We find also that with that in regard, that there's agitation now, demands for a U.S. congressional black belt district, encompassing all of the entire East and West Alabama Black Belt, the area that the Brother Stone, his book, covers. That area they want to develop. And what we find, and in summing up most of these kind of struggles, is a consistent movement away from integration demands, immediate demands. And I think everyone who works in the South finds it more and more clearly, crystallizations toward nationalist demands. But these are democratic demands, you know, you should not be afraid of. These are definitely a rejection of Martin Luther King's program. Now, I want to be very firm about it, because I think we don't do justice to reality when we try to foist a false or non-existent image of it on people. People today, African masses today, are definitely moving away from Martin Luther King's program in the South. I want to repeat that. Many masses were in that direction. But when you see the SCLC itself walking around in red, black, and green, you know that there's a movement that's taking place. It's not because many of the leaders wanted to, but the masses of people wanted. More and more in the South, you can go to the schools, you go down to Utah, Alabama, and where in Greene County, you'll see Malcolm X, all the things that you see here are very, very, very popular. I've gone to so many demonstrations, and I'm way out in the country. Opelousas is out in the country, you know. You go up to Aliceville, Alabama, you're out there in the country. Anybody here, by the way, from Alabama? Okay, brother is from Alabama. You're from Alabama? Okay, where did you live in Alabama? Very good. Birmingham, okay. Well, you're up in a big city, but I'm talking about, you know, going down, like you say here, Wilcox County, Greene County, you know, Haynesville down there. You go all the way across from one in Alabama, Black Belt, Sumter, all the way over the other end, over where Auburn is, you know. And you see red, black, and green. These are the popular colors. You see identification with Africa, you know. I was just in a demonstration in Picayune, Mississippi, where one of my comrades who's running for U.S. Congress, Leon Waters, he was asked to speak at that demonstration. This was a demonstration against police brutality. Picayune, Mississippi is about 100 miles, 80 miles north east of New Orleans. And it's way out in the country, okay? And what you see are not, and I'm going to be very clear about this, not Martin Luther King, the identification. You see all the Malcolm sweatshirts and all the Mandelas, and you see all this kind of consciousness is really bubbling forth, you know. And this is bubbling forth because people realize that they are more and more a nation. They're a nation independent of, a nation that's forged under historic conditions, different from the white English-speaking nation. Martin Luther King did not want to develop that view. He developed the opposite view, all right? I want to be very frank on that, you know? And I think unless we grasp what is happening, we're not going to be able to lead it properly, you know? The last point I wanted to make is that on this question of United States, the state versus nationality, what do we mean by these two concepts, you know? African American, you know, versus New African, and so on. You know. United States refers to a community of people based on the fact that they all have a common governmental association. We all are under the pressure of one government. But within the United States, there are various nations. Now, the United States government itself was forced to recognize that there's a Puerto Rican nation that has developed under different historic conditions, you know, than the nation of the, what we would call the Anglo-American nation. And there's no doubt about that the Afro-Americans, we are a nation. We're a nation that's different from, our conditions of development are so completely different from the the Anglo-American nation, this country, right? So it is correct that we are not Americans in that sense. And I think, you know, we're not Anglo-American we're not Anglo-Americans, right? Because we're a different nation. But we are nonetheless within the same state right now. We are in the same state. Even though there's many nations, we're in the same state. And therefore, the Afro-American liberation movement, like Malcolm pointed out, like a consistent Marxist would point out, the movement has to fight for the freedom of that Afro-American nation to form its own independent state, different from the United States, separate from the United States, that would break away from the United States, that would withdraw from the United States, okay? That is the objective of the movement. And that type of movement, our movement for self-determination, our feeling is it can't but be and must necessity be a conscious movement, a movement where we work amongst the masses to bring this understanding to them. Of course, we learn from the masses, we adapt to the conditions of the masses, and so forth and so on. But there's no movement for self-determination that with that consciousness can spring from the masses unconsciously. It doesn't happen. It's never happened before. Look at 1776. The movement for independence for the United States was a conscious movement. A program was advanced. Declaration of Independence. It was fought for, you know. I know I've steered a little bit away from the question of struggles in the South, but it's related. We're all talking about, someone can declare we're not interested in political programs, but you see, the whole struggle, all struggle is political struggle, and political struggle requires a program. And program questions have to be fought out. There's no way around it. History knows of no other way. No other way. You look anywhere else in the world, England, the Irish question, right? Look anywhere else in the world and you find Palestinian questions of program. Program are just as important as questions of how are we going to organize to bring this program back into, bring it into being. And I think there's no question that's going on today in the South. The answer to the question, the nature of the struggles, these struggles are becoming more clear, more sharply nationalistic struggles. These struggles are identifying more clearly and sharply with the demands and program of Malcolm X when he said he wanted independence for his people. Thank you.